Welcome to The Lifted Podcast. I'm your host, Helen Denham. I'm a confidence and business mentor for women, and my intention is to help you clear out any mental or spiritual blocks that are keeping you from leading the most happy, fulfilling, successful life that you could possibly lead. This podcast is about activating our highest potential, healing in mind, body, and spirit, and above all, holding space for our humanity as we explore the depths of what it means to be human. Hello, my friends, reporting live from the jungle. Once again, we're still in Costa Rica. I'm on my kind of third chapter of this trip, it feels like. I've still got about 5-6 more weeks here, and it feels like a different energy is arising this week. I think we're feeling some planetary shifts. We're starting to sense the essence of spring coming through for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. Perhaps you felt the same way. I feel like I've been in this stage of wintering, even though I've been in a warm environment, like this inward journey, kind of like a hermit journey, if you're familiar with the story of that tarot card. I feel like I've been referencing that a lot. But yeah, it's been so fascinating to see what metamorphoses have been going down here. I find myself mirrored and reflected in every way here, from the environment and how I'm responding to the environment, how I'm moving my body, how I'm eating, how I'm in my self-worth when I'm given great opportunities to take care of myself. I find myself mirrored back in the new friends that I'm making and how I show up authentically versus wearing a mask with new people. And I'm just learning so much about who my truest self is and what my truest nature looks like. I'm also finding that I'm being mirrored in deeper, more romantic connections and, you know, where my attachment lies and where my inner child wounding lies. And I've been moving through a lot of inner child healing and working on understanding why I behave the way that I do, where I get anxiety from, and just moving through the sensations of that in really beautiful and nurturing ways. And I'm also seeing myself mirrored by other healers. I just did such an amazing session with a new dear friend of mine. He did what we would call, I believe, a tremor response therapy session. So we actually induced and elicited a tremoring in my legs. It was so interesting. So what we did was we exhausted my legs, like I did wall sits and squats, and just got my legs to start kind of shaking naturally. And then I laid down and my legs just started to really shake, and I surrendered to the shaking. And that shaking moved up through my legs into my hips. And I felt like if we had gone longer, it would have also hit my spine and I probably would have had a Kundalini activation. And what that shaking did, we also see this in shamanism. They practice shaking. We see this in ecstatic dance. Shaking is really powerful. What it does is it releases cellular memories of stress and fatigue, and just that fight or flight response has a safe space to act out and be released. And it was just amazing, because I started crying, but I wasn't really feeling sadness or anything really attached to the tears. It was just a necessary purging and a release. And what we talked about during that session was that sometimes our emotions don't need to necessarily be over-intellectualized and, you know, described and looped on this thought path and attached to all these stories, but instead emotions can just be felt as sensations and as somatic experiences. So I encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, to feel into that this week. When you feel a denser emotion arise, instead of over-intellectualizing it and starting to create a story around it, could you just allow yourself to feel it and welcome it with ultimate love and curiosity, and just say, oh, okay, this is grief coming in, or this is loss coming in, or this is desperation coming in. Okay, I see you. I feel that. I feel that in my chest. Okay, let me breathe into that. And I actually notice you can time this. Like, it takes about 30 seconds for an emotion to move in and through my system now. I just had such a visceral experience of this. Like, in the kitchen the other day, I was making lunch and I felt this wave of like anxiety come through, and I was like, oh, hey, okay, I'm going to practice this. I'm going to get into this heightened observational state, and I'm just going to see how long this sensation of feeling lasts in my body as it like a physical response. And then it was done. And I know that if I had clung to that emotion and been like, okay, why am I anxious? Here's a story behind this. This is who I am because of it. Like, I probably could have ruminated all day. But it's just so fascinating when we start to listen to the body, what can happen. So this all brings us to our overarching theme of exploration for today, which is reclaiming your power and trusting your gut. And you know me, your girl loves a little list. So as I was sitting outside having my coffee, watching the birds, hanging out, I really explored this within myself. Like, what are the points here that bring me back to my power and help me to trust my gut when I feel out of it or out of alignment, or I've been fragmenting in so many ways? So I will also say, if you want to, get out your journal. And for each of these exploration points, you can journal on what it means for you and how it's showing up in your life right now. Okay. So the first point here for reclaiming your power is by getting clear on the person that you want to be. Who is the person that you want to be? And is your environment in alignment with that? So this is where consistent highest self activations can be so helpful, which I'm doing in the Sunday meditation classes most often with you guys. We bring in the highest self so that you can maintain that consistency and that focus on who your most vibrant, radiant, confident, powerful self is. And that really requires a honing of that vision over and over again with consistent revisitation. And so this is a great time to just rethink about that. Like, who is the person that you want to be, and what are your core values? Really revisiting that. Perhaps it's someone who lives with integrity and who is very honest. Perhaps it's someone who is healthy and nurtures their body and takes care of your body. It's someone who is playful and joyful and creative. So also, you know, you can look at your vision board to remind yourself of this and think about how your highest self shows up. But are you living in alignment with the person that you really want to be? So reclaiming your power means understanding where you have settled for less. What in your environment is not in a similar frequency to that highest version of you, to that most powerful self? And this can be really simple to a lot more complex. So when I think about who I want to be, I'm literally like looking in the fridge. I'm like, do I have whole foods? Do I have fruits? Do I have clean water? I'm looking at my environment. Do I have a place where I can walk around really easily and make new friends and network with people that I admire? And more complexly, like in my relationships, is the person that I'm spending the most time with, friends, lovers, family, are they a reflection of my highest points of integrity, or are they out of alignment with that? And where can I create healthier boundaries? So revisit the person who you want to be and start to pay close attention to what is in or out of alignment with that, and notice where you're settling. And we'll talk about how to up-level in those ways too. So that's number one. Number two, I kind of hinted at in the beginning as we were talking about sensations in the body, but pay very close attention to the sensations and feelings in your body when you're in direct correlation and connection to either a person, a place, or a thing. So you can really test your discernment in simple ways. So I don't know why I keep going toward food, but like when you have a bite of something, how do you feel in your body? Do you feel deeply nourished? Do you feel filled with pleasure? Do you feel vibrant and healthy? Or do you feel depleted? Do you feel guilt? Do you feel shame, like you're not taking care of yourself? And of course, there's room for expansion around this. Sometimes you need a little ice cream. You need a little treat, okay? I'm totally with you. I have a sweet tooth. But if we're really honest with ourselves and we're practicing, you know, consistently showing up as our highest selves and in our power, we can practice getting really honest with ourselves about the sensations in our body and where we are either honoring or dishonoring ourselves, right? Same goes with people. And I'm just referencing people because I'm around so many new people right now that I am getting a much closer look at how I feel and where I dismiss myself or my power or my authenticity. So really notice, like, when you're with someone, how do you feel? Like, do you feel regulated? Do you feel safe? Do you feel calm? Do you feel like you can exist in silence with them? Do you feel like you have to perform? Do you feel like they are being honest with you? Do you feel like you want to run away a little bit? take note of it while you're in their presence, and afterward, how do you feel? Do you feel depleted or do you feel charged up? And then again, honor that sensation. So if you are feeling depleted, don't see too much of that person until you're ready to see them again or until something changes about that relationship. If you're feeling lit up and enlivened by that connection, go ahead and keep seeing them. And this can also relate to our work, you know, and I think this is where so many people struggle with finding their purpose, and they feel out of alignment with their purpose. And this is honestly what we work through when I work with you in mentorship, is really getting you back into alignment with your purpose, your ultimate sense of fulfillment, and editing and auditing your life so that you are really living at the frequency that you know you're capable of and deserving of. It's a practice of self-worth to get there. So, Again, take a look at how you're working and how you're showing up to your life. Is that in alignment with your values, your integrity, a sense of purpose for you, or is it depleting you and draining you? And understanding that there is another way if you are feeling like you're not in alignment. And if you're familiar with Lacey Phillips and Too Big Magnetic, they call this, you know, finding expanders, which are people that are living the life that you want to live. Find those people, study them, understand how they got to where they are, and start to use that as a roadmap so that you can start to take more aligned action toward a life that feels better and more vital for you. So, yes, that's number two. Just pay close attention to how you feel around certain people, places, and environments, and honor that and edit accordingly. Remove or add according to how enlivened you feel. Now, I will say there's a nuance to that of understanding also that triggers are our teachers. And sometimes people enter our lives for a season to trigger us into further healing. So it's not about avoiding what might be difficult in the moment. It's not about thinking that everything should be all rainbows and sunshine all the time. But you should feel like, okay, this person's triggering me, but I'm getting better because of it. You know, you can tell deep down, like, oh, this is going to help me heal at the end of the day. Not manipulative, not abusive in any way, but just, okay, they're pushing me into a heightened version of myself. So good to know the difference there as well. Okay. Number three is just trusting that you know what's best for you. I think a lot of the times we outsource our power to people that we think have got it all figured out. Like, we might see someone on social media that has a bigger following than us, or they're making more money than us, or they seem to have the perfect relationship. And we're like, oh, there's something wrong with me. They figured it out. I need to do what they're doing to, like, you know, feel worthy and feel like I've got it figured out. But on the note of social media, especially, we just never know the full story behind something. Really remembering, honestly, that what we see from people is typically a highlight reel, and we're all human beings. We all have a lot of depth under the surface that we're only sharing with our most intimate connections. So understand that you know what's best for you, and just because someone else seems to have it all figured out doesn't mean that they do, and doesn't mean that you need to surrender all of your power over to someone else because they're just a step different than where you are. So from that note as well, understand that if you're receiving advice from somebody, whether that's a friend that cares about you or just anybody in your life that's giving you advice, solicited or unsolicited, understand that they're also telling their own story of life, and that we all project onto each other all the time. We can't help it, you know, like, it's just natural. I mean, I'm projecting onto you as well right now, like what I'm moving through. So you get to choose, oh, do I like what Helen's saying to me? Do I like how I feel with these words? Do I resonate with this or not? And do I respect her for who she is? Do I think she's a good person? That's really important. So when you're taking advice from people, whether it's mentors or friends or new people that you're dating, really check in with yourself to see, okay, are they projecting a story onto me? And does their story match with who I want to be? Or are they just projecting from a place of woundedness and potentially even control so that they feel better about themselves? I think that's something I've been experiencing recently, Because as I've been meeting new people down here in Costa Rica, like none of us are really familiar with each other yet. We don't really know each other. So as we're bouncing around ideas about business and the healing world and everything, I'm just much more aware that people will project their own narratives and ways of living so that they can feel like, oh, I'm very wise. I know what's best. Here's the roadmap forward. People want to feel like, you know, they know what's best and they know how to do life. It's very human. It's very natural. And in the beginning, in this environment, I started to feel like I honestly had a little bit of imposter syndrome when I was meeting these particular people, because I was like, oh, maybe they know something that I don't. And then I remembered, oh, no, they're, you know, as I got to know them better, I was like, oh, no, this is just their story. And this is being projected onto me a little bit. So just practice a discerning eye. And it's amazing when you get separation from certain things where you can kind of take off your rose-colored glasses and realize like, no, you're exactly where you're meant to be. You're exactly where you're supposed to be for your evolution. And nobody knows better than you what you need. Even your therapist, even your bosses, even your coaches. It should always be a collaborative experience of deepening an understanding of self so that you can come to the conclusion about what's going to be best for your path forward. I'm very wary of when people tell us who we should be and tell us where our shortcomings are or something like that without it being a collaborative experience of deep curiosity and compassion. So I hope that makes sense. Trust that you know what's best for you. And if someone else is coming in to give you advice, make sure it's a collaborative, compassionate, very honest exploration and inquisition process. Number four here is practicing vulnerability right alongside your boundaries. Practice being open about how you feel with the people in your life, and know that it's not selfish to step back and take time for yourself in order to reclaim your power, in order to remember who you are. And it's not selfish, and it's the best thing that you could do for yourself and for other people. Especially if you are an introvert and you do need a lot of alone time to recharge. If you find yourself like getting really excited about a new boyfriend or a connection, for example, and you find yourself being swept off your feet and spending all of your time with another person, or getting like overly obsessed with a project or something, just remember that we all need alone time to recharge, right? But remembering how important that is to create space for yourself and to come home to yourself and to choose yourself. And not feeling selfish for choosing yourself on a daily basis. And sometimes that takes strength. That takes a lot of strength, honestly, especially if you're excited by a new person or project. You might want to pour yourself into it fully. And I've definitely been there. I actually have a kind of a pattern of this that I'm working on healing and moving out of, where when I meet a new friend or a lover or a partner, I just like, we become attached very quickly and things, you know, just get, we're with each other 24/7. So I'm just working on making sure that I have the strength to say, no, I'm just going to take today for myself to recharge. So I show up as the best version of myself for you. And that's where you gain clarity. That's where you gain insight. And that's where you can integrate everything that you've been learning. So know when it's time to step back, and you might not even feel ready to do it and take your space, but just make sure that you are doing it and understanding that it's really necessary to check in with yourself and not give all of your time, energy, and spaciousness away to somebody else. Because I actually find what happens there is when we pour ourselves fully into somebody else or something else, resentment can breed. And we don't want that, right? Bless. We want to feel empowered and calm and regulated, right? So sometimes that means making smaller sacrifices that result in a much greater reward of just breathing, taking your time, calming down a little bit. So good. Practicing vulnerability alongside boundaries. Okay, number five for reclaiming your power. Noticing your patternings around approval and understanding where you are still seeking approval from external resources and where you are like abandoning your sense of self-worth or self-esteem because you care so much about what somebody else thinks of you, and you're creating stories in your head about what they think of you or how you're showing up in a certain space. So this is where that inner child work can be really, really important, and understanding your attachment styles. Like, I've come to realize that I'm a very anxious attachment kind of person, and I do not do well with like avoidant attachment people. It just like brings up my anxiety a lot. But as I've been in this process, I've been thinking about, okay, well, where did this come from as a baby, as a child? Like, what are my earliest memories of being anxious and craving touch and love? And I have these memories, you know, of being a really small child and like reaching up for one of my parents and not being picked up when I needed to be picked up. And now I can see that that's being mirrored in my relationships today. It's like I get anxious when I'm not touched or held or all of these things. So just understand where you have your own patternings that could be self-sabotaging you around approval, and understand where you can take radical self-responsibility for that and then pour love into that with every ounce of your being. Hold space for that child that felt hurt or abandoned, and choose yourself instead of choosing the other person and begging them for what you might need. Choose yourself above all. Come back to yourself. And it's so interesting how our interpersonal relationships can be mirrored in the business world as well. Noticing where all of these feelings of just needing approval from other people can show up, and how we show up on social media, or how we try to get new clients, or all of these things. So having a heightened awareness of where your attachment style is bleeding into your relationships and your work and your habits. And also really understanding how you behave when you feel your anxiety coming up. For me, I actually really notice that I get like sugar cravings, or I feel like I want to reach out to someone for approval. So I've been much more actively like just noticing that, breathing through it, and especially like we were saying earlier, moving my body. It's been very helpful for me to be incorporating dance and movement and yoga to move out these emotions and hold space for them. But just give them space to move through the body instead of trying to suffocate them or drown them out or pacify them with food or with, you know, superficial connection. You know what I mean? So this is a big one, just noticing your attachment patternings and how you seek approval and what you do when you crave approval. This is just huge. I think the ultimate question here is, can you love yourself even if someone else can't? Oof, right? Like, think about that. Can you love yourself even if somebody else can't show up the way that you need them to? So big. Okay, number 6 on reclaiming your power. Get comfortable with the unknown. Let your body and let your intuition lead the way forward. Very simply, just keep moving toward the more peaceful, more regulated feeling, swimming downstream. I love how Abraham Hicks talks about this, like swimming downstream, letting the current carry you. That's what it feels like to be in the vortex, to be in a flow state, and to be in a surrender state. So noticing where you can let things be easier, leaning into the unknown, and trusting your instincts, trusting your gut to lead the way forward, and paying attention to your bodily sensations. So that's a simple one. I've also got another podcast episode you guys can check out that's related to that and like leaning into the unknown. I think it was a very recent one about embracing the unknown, embracing uncertainty. So check that out for a deep dive. Number 7 here is understanding that everything and everyone is actually guiding us to our highest potential. Remembering that triggers are our teachers. So when we feel like we're pulled out of our power, or we're not in our integrity and we're not in our authenticity, that's okay. Be gentle with yourself. Our work is to just acknowledge it and then get back into alignment. And coming back into alignment with the lessons that we just learned from being out of it. So understanding that everything is unfolding just as it should be. Even if you're going through an extremely difficult and triggering situation right now, ask yourself, what have I prayed for that I'm actually being prepared for right now? Where am I learning to strengthen my trust muscle? How am I actually getting what I want from this situation? And how am I being primed to reach the next level of my evolution here? And even practice gratitude for the test that you're going through. understanding that we are tested by the universe when we're calling in a new manifestation to see how high our self-worth is and to see if we're a match to the frequency that we're calling in. So acknowledging these tests and these triggers with ultimate compassion and having some fun with it, being like, ooh, okay, that triggered me. Here's where I can practice getting into higher self-worth. Yeah. So practicing gratitude for everything that's coming into your life right now, because it's all purposed and hindsight is 2020. And you'll look back on this and be like, oh my God, thank God that happened the way that it did. I'm so grateful. Okay. Eighth and final point here. Build a case of self-trust. Build yourself a case of self-trust to reclaim your power and to trust your gut fully. So this really means taking inventory of all of the times when you trusted your gut and it worked out. Also, the times that you didn't trust your gut and things went a little haywire. So you can literally look back and be like, okay, I got that ping. I got that inspiration to move forward with this and I did it. And this is what happened. And my life blossomed in this way. Maybe you moved somewhere new or you took a new job or you entered a new partnership and your gut communicated something to you. So really take a look at some of the most important events, perhaps from, let's say, the last year. Take a look at the most important events from your last year and see where you trusted your gut, where you didn't, and see where your intuition was guiding you, and notice how it all ended up working out in the end anyways. Sometimes we just take the longer route when we don't trust our gut, but we always get to where we need to go. It's just a matter of like, do we take the highway there or do we end up on the back roads, like weaseling our way back to the path? So this can be a journal practice for you, like remembering, okay, I trusted my gut here and this is what happened. I didn't here and this is what happened. And honestly, life is all about relationships, right? Whether it's roommates or family or dating, everything is relationships. Work is relationships. It's all about people. Life is about people and how we connect to people. And one thing that I've noticed on my path is that the first impression you get of somebody honestly is usually freaking accurate energetically. How you feel around somebody the first time that you meet them, whether you immediately feel like you can trust them and open to them, like that gut feeling and that kind of primal response is really important to take note of. Okay, let's do a little recap of our 8 points around reclaiming your power and trusting your gut. We'll do this quickly. Okay, number one, who is the person that you want to be? Reassess how your highest self shows up and notice if your environment is in alignment with that. Who is the person that you want to be? Number two, pay close attention to the sensations and feelings in your body when you're around somebody or something. Your body keeps the score. Your body's telling you if you feel empowered or not. Number three, trust that you know what's best for you. And if you're bringing someone in to help you with your healing, make sure that it's a collaborative, honest, curious experience where you still are maintaining the control and the say, and that you are celebrated and lifted in the experience. Number four, practice good boundaries and vulnerability alongside with this. Communicate your needs, and sometimes having boundaries means taking a step back to recharge, even if you don't really want to, but knowing when you really need to take care of yourself and recharge your battery before setting out in the world again. So good boundaries with yourself and with others with honest communication. Number five is noticing your patterning around approval and getting familiar with your attachment styles. Number six, getting comfortable with the unknown and letting your intuition lead the way. Number seven is understanding that everything is guiding you towards your highest potential. Everything is working out best case scenario. So practicing gratitude even for the triggers. And number eight, building yourself a case of self-trust, taking inventory of all the times you trusted your gut and it worked out and all the times that you didn't and things went a little haywire. And of course, if you're seeking more intimate guided support here, come join me in a single session, or you can even join me for 4 months in mentorship, which is a beautiful collaborative experience into revealing your highest potential. I love seeing what manifestations start to come through for my clients, even within the first 4 weeks, because as your self-worth raises and as your confidence builds, it's inevitable that things and abundance starts pouring in for you when you open that portal, when you open that door and you communicate to the universe, yeah, I'm ready for more. I'm showing up. I'm taking action and I love myself. When you're in that state of consistent alignment anything is possible for you. So this is why I do what I do. I love you. Thank you for being here. If you feel called to leave a review, I'd love to hear from you. And as always, ping me. Let me know what your biggest takeaways from this episode were. I'm going to be returning on a weekly basis for the podcast. I've been doing bi-weekly for a couple months now, but you will be hearing from me every Wednesday. And we love to see you. Okay. Talk to you on the next one. Bye for now.